Powered by Reb Media in partnership with TSN. This is season 5. And Ray, I'm pretty sure it is episode 55 of the Ray and Drinks Hockey Podcast.
I think it's 54, actually.
Is it?
Well, I mean, Rashog would not mention the number last week, so I'm not sure. So I wouldn't know. I've lost focus here. Is it 55?
Yeah, it's 55.
Well,
it's
there we go. 55. See, we're back. Thanks for getting this back on the train. Thanks. We're back on the tracks. Appreciate it.
For a detail-driven guy, it's the details like that that matter to me that seemingly obviously don't matter to him. But it is episode 55.
Well, his focus is on that simulator, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's not on his swing, because that's like a rusty gate.
By the way, I was traveling, so I didn't catch episode 54. How did it go? Was it smooth? Did you talk a lot of golf?
At the beginning, we did. And then the quizmaster got in his ear.
Yeah, of course, he must have. Yeah.
Because we had some good discussions.
Oh, really?
Yes. More important or more impressive, McDavid's 100 assists or Matthews' goals. Yeah, you know where the quizmaster falls on that.
Steve Dryden, 100%. Yes, it is.
Yeah. And so really, really good stuff. Really good stuff. So it was good. He didn't crash the car or anything like that. So we're back. And awesome to have you back.
All right. It is the Ray and Drakes Hockey Podcast, and it's presented by our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, who've introduced the first release of the Canadian Club Invitation Series CC 15-year-old sherry cask, all the hallmarks of classic Canadian Club with the added richness and sweetness of sherry. So, as you know, I was away spending some family time in the beautiful Okanagan Valley in Kelowna, BC, and Holly and I came back on Wednesday, but took advantage of the locale and spent Tuesday at Sparkling Hill, right in Vernon, right above, as you know, Predator Ridge, golf mecca, and had never been to Sparkling Hill before. I've seen it, of course, and driving by, you look up and there's this beautiful hotel resort. I mean, holy smokes. I mean, Holly's getting a massage Tuesday afternoon. I'm not a massage guy, so I went right for the hot infinity pool, which is, of course, overlooking Okanagan Lake. Just beautiful. Kind of soaked in there for 15, 20 minutes. Then went over to that collection of steam rooms. It started with the salt steam, went to the crystal steam, had to have the herbal steam, and then finished off with a sauna ray. So that was kind of how I spent my afternoon at Sparkling Hill.
How'd you sleep?
Yeah, I slept pretty well. That's
pretty awesome. Yeah, awesome. Good for you guys.
It's just a fabulous place. So we, pre-COVID, we had planned to take the entire family, Mason, Katie, their significant others, to Turks and Caicos, right? Mm. We had it all booked. We were going to whatever the resort is, Waimara. I think it's Waimara, where James Duffy is.
He's like an ambassador
member. He really is.
He's a big wheel shaker.
It didn't work out because of COVID, so sadly we had to cancel. Now I'm thinking that, you know, because we do have to do that family vacay at some point in the near future, I can envision a combination of Sparkling Hill for a couple of days. You know, everybody would enjoy that, all the facilities. Yeah, oh yeah. But then you shift over, which is mere minutes away, to Predator Ridge. You either rent one of the villas, you've got the lodge there, and just golf our brains out for
Do all four of you play
days.
Golf?
No, but we'd probably combine families, and we'd come up with a foursome for sure.
Well, golf, if you get to seven and you need an eighth, you know, I'm not that far away, so I'm always right, up for buddy. Golf at Predator.
Yeah, well, we've been to some nice places, Paris, Prague, Copenhagen, St. Petersburg, Cologne, Stockholm, go down the list. Sparkling Hill and the Swarovski family put this thing together. I was blown away. So
awesome.
There you go.
Awesome.
Lots of great time in BC. Time for headlines, brought to you by Tim Hortons. All new savory pinwheels are here. Perfect snack, really,
yummy,
to satisfy your afternoon cravings. You have cravings, don't you, Ray?
I do. Usually, I'm trying to not eat till 11. So my cravings, yeah. I don't eat till 11 every day. I try not to anyway. But then, so my cravings get pushed to about 3 o'clock. Otherwise, they're at, right after lunch.
Well, this will work with that.
I love this stuff.
And look, if the pinwheel isn't enough, they're an excellent addition to your soup, your chili. Any lunch or dinner at Tim's is great. Just add the pinwheel, make it better. Available at all participating Tim Hortons restaurants across the country and for delivery through the Tim Hortons mobile app. So let's dive into the playoff race in the East, because it is flat out terrific right now. The Islanders beat Columbus last night. They slide into a wild card spot. You have the Penguins beating the Capitals. Another showdown between Sidney Crosby and Alexander Ovechkin, which is always fun. So Pittsburgh, as we record here on Friday, 2 points back of the Flyers in the Metro, one back of Washington, two back of the Islanders for the wild card. The Caps and the Red Wings have a slight edge, but man, this has the potential to be awesome right through to game 82.
It does. And I guess there's, you know, when you look, like, the West is pretty much like eight teams. Where they're going to finish, they're going to, you know, that's what they're going to scuffle for here for the last 7-8 games. But it's those eight teams pretty much that are in. So when you look, you've got Pittsburgh, Detroit, Washington, the Islanders, and Philly. And two of those five teams are going to make it. And they're starting to they play each other. They kind of climb over top of each other here. You know, Pittsburgh goes into Washington and wins last night, which was Thursday night. The Islanders win. Now the Islanders play the Penguins, or the Islanders play the Rangers coming up. The Penguins play the Islanders coming up.
Yeah.
What if it comes right down to the last game of the season?
I mean, it could.
And it literally could. It's so fun to watch when each time you see a score, even though you know it, you've got to go back to the standings, at least I do, and try to figure out, like, okay, if they win, where does that put these guys? And it's pretty remarkable, actually, to just to see how tight this is. Because 2 weeks ago, the Islanders were dead and Pittsburgh was dead. Yeah. Like, they weren't in it, except they're in it. And it's really pretty fun to watch.
You would have been that player, right? I mean, if your team was kind of on the cusp, you're fighting in the last half dozen games, trying to lock down a playoff spot. Back then, you know, it maybe wasn't as immediate, but you did have the scoreboard. You know, it was kind of like wrapped around the building when the Jumbotron started to come out and whatnot. You'd be watching for the score updates.
But the difference, Drake, I think it's like, for a lot of us that are our age, you used to do that stuff in your head because there was no other way to do it. So I would, because that's just the way I am, I would know who needed to win and who needed to lose. And I'd be watching and at times getting distracted as I'm sitting there watching the game. You know, like I'm sitting on the bench, but I'm watching the board and then I'm like, oh, it's my shift. And like, you got to be careful that, really, the only thing that matters is what you do. Because if you don't win, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
Right? I do have to say, I did my first game this week in Mullet Arena.
Oh, boy. How was that?
Nice to go there once.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned, what's that thing in the middle of the arena? What did you call the clock? What did you call it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got a Tron.
A mini-Tron.
I mean, I get it. And the people seem to be having fun when they're at the game. But like, I went to the bathroom between periods. I come out, I literally run into somebody I know. It was like going to a junior game, you know, like,
well, it's a junior sized building and smaller than a lot of junior facilities.
It really is. And so anyway, that was my first experience there. And the dilapidated old ballpark outside where the TV trucks are, that where Barry Bonds used to play, literally. Like, the place is been abandoned. It's a parking lot, basically, with TV trucks in the middle of it. It's like, it's, anyway, sorry to go off track. I just, when you said Jumbotron, it made me think of the Tron.
Well, and you know what, just a quick update. You don't have to comment on that, but the Marullo family did put out a release through the Arizona Coyotes saying that they're committed to winning the land auction, which happens in June. And they're committed to building a multi-purpose facility for the Coyotes. And most importantly, using non-taxpayer dollars, all funded privately. Now, there's still some skepticism here, but it is a show of commitment. And it does seem sound like a step in the right direction. Let's see if they win that land auction. So not really anywhere to go there, but yeah. it's a good thing for the NHL, who's desperately trying to keep that market, Arizona, in the equation.
Yeah, so just we'll see how it plays out. I think we're all on the same page. Like,
yeah,
win the land auction or don't win the land auction, then it's move time on. To move. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now back to the East. I want to spend a little bit more time on the Pittsburgh Penguins, because what Sidney Crosby is doing and has done in the second half of this regular season, I mean, it's vintage Sid, isn't it, Ray? I mean, he's dragging this team into the playoffs. And it almost feels like, and there's no other way to make this sound less negative, derogatory than the way I'm going to present it, it feels like he's sticking it to management. Because Kyle Dubas and management understandably, appreciably went with the old playbook, right? We're a non-playoff team. We can't let really good assets like Jake Gensel walk into free agency and get nothing in return. So they trade Jake Gensel to a rival in Carolina, as we know. But I would believe that the sense at that point, if you're Crosby, if you're Letang, if you're Malkin, even if you're Erik Karlsson, new to the picture, well, they don't believe in us. They don't believe that the playoffs are attainable. So let's show them. Let's prove that we can do this. Man, can you imagine if they lock down that playoff spot? How fun will that be?
Okay, a couple things. Right after the deadline, like the next day, we did a Penguins game. And the mood and the air around the team was heavy, and morale was low, like low. Yeah. And so, I mean, Mike Sullivan at the time was saying, oh, we got a chance. As long as there's games, we got a chance. And then, you know, I'd walk away from those chats and go, they don't have a chance. Like that. They just don't. Like they're too inconsistent. They just traded Gensel, and yeah, I just don't see it. And then it went on for about a week or so. And if you look at right before and right after the deadline, Crosby was in a lull.
Yeah.
And then I don't think Sidney Crosby is capable of doing anything non-competitively. Like I don't think he is. Like I think he'd be murder to play crib against. You know, like I really do. I think like there's nothing that he would do that just by his sheer will, he couldn't give everything that he had. Yeah. And I don't think there's any question, without romanticizing the game or commitment or whatever, he dug as deep as he could go here. And he's got, I think he's got 15 points in his last six games. The Penguins are now 5-0-2. They're averaging over 4 goals a game, which is remarkable because they couldn't score very much prior.
Yeah.
But, and there is a similarity here to Florida last year. And the similarity is last year, Sergei Bobrovsky got sick down the stretch, and Alex Lyon took over in goal, won 6 straight, and got them into the playoffs. Like without Alex Lyon, there is no Stanley Cup final for Florida last year. Tristan Jarry was banged up a bit, and then he got sick. And Alex Nedeljkovic is 5-0-2. In goal. He played back-to-back games on the weekend, which, of course, is news now that didn't used to be news, that a goalie played back-to-back. But the Crosby angle and Nedeljkovic in goal have been just amazing parts of the story. I will say this, too. If the Penguins get in, I'm going to stare a lot harder at my MVP ballot.
Ah, interesting.
You know, because right now... you know, I said last week, like I've got Kucherov in the top of mine.
Yeah.
But, and I would have Crosby you know, on the periphery of it, like, you know, mm-hmm. because you get five votes, I think, for each award. But if they make the playoffs, I might have to rethink it, because he's just had an amazing, amazing year.
He really has. He really has. Speaking of amazing years, how about Nikita Kucherov?
Oh.
I mean, this guy just continues to throw out multi-point games. You know, another three-pointer last night against the Montreal Canadiens.
That's Tampa 20. Bay's, 20 three-point games.
We talk enough about Kucherov because, I mean, he's world-class. Of course, we talk about Nikita Kucherov. But his level, his ability to just generate consistently is literally second to none. So now you look at Tampa Bay. They're 2 points back of Toronto for third in the Atlantic. Oh, Stamkos, by the way, had a three-point night. A couple of goals there. Nicky Paul, two goals. He's kicking it up a notch at the right time of the year. And we know that he can be an impactful player, especially in the playoffs. So who wants the Tampa Bay Lightning in round one? Probably no one, given, again, we haven't even talked about their elite level of goaltending. I mean, this is a beast of it.
It certainly can be. I mean, they're, you know, they were thin on defense, and you know, they added Matt Dumba to their blue line. They get, you know, Vasilevsky's back healthy and playing most every night. Stamkos has passed 30 goals again. Point's a terrific player. Their defense feels thin, and I wonder if it could hold up in a playoff series. But they're like old playoff dogs, right? Like you just cannot look past them very easily. The one thing is they're not real great at 5-on-5. Like they don't have a great 5-on-5 differential. Their special teams blow people out of the water. Like it's not even close. And the challenge would be playing them in a series and keeping the game 5-on-5 as long as you can.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get into a power play game. Kucherov is, honestly, he is a magical player most of the time on the ice. Give him extra space of a power play, and there may be no better passer around. I mean, he is
sneaky dirty too, right? Like he can be sneaky dirty.
Yeah. He's a quiet, nasty piece of business. Yeah.
Well, not so quiet, but can be a nasty piece of business is Brad Marchand. And the Bruins are rolling. I'll say they're rolling. They won three straight. Beat Carolina on Thursday night. Marchand with his 400th NHL goal. Closing in on someone, Ray.
Yep.
Look out. You've got another one chasing.
There's no way to stop the momentum. I told Kopitar, I saw Andrei Kopitar in Vancouver. I was doing a game. He was sitting on the bench, and I had teased him before because he was stuck at 407. I said, "You're never going to catch me. It's never going to happen." And of course, now I think he's got 420 or something. Or other. But I said to him, I go, he goes, "I finally got you." I said, "Yeah, I had the under on you. I thought you weren't going to get it done." And so now I got, you know, I think Marchand will probably get me. I do think so. 400 goals with one, like Kopitar, with one team.
Yeah.
It's really, really impressive. And the other night, like, you know, the Bruins had stumbled a little bit, and they talked about lightening his workload. And so I read an article, and he's like, "I don't want to lighten my workload."
No chance.
Like he's, and so Jim Montgomery said, you know, the only way to lighten the workload is some nights, if I don't think he's got enough pep in his stride, I'll just chisel his minutes back.
Yeah.
But like it's like they can't really go to him and say, because I don't know why it's a losing conversation, but it is. You know, "Hey, why don't you take a night off?" He's like, "Beat it." And so, you know, I do think there is value in it a little bit, but you get into this routine. We see all the time a team gets 4 days off and they come out and they clunk the first game.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you get into the rhythm of the season. And, but he's had an amazing career. In my mind, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
I agree. And I wouldn't have thought that a couple years ago. But year after year after year, he produces and produces at a top line level. And for me, he's a Hall of Famer. And I'd love to see his speech. By the way, I don't know why I think it would be entertaining.
It will be. And he's an emotional dude. For whatever reason, yeah. I can just envision him, you know, because there's so many different layers to Brad Marchand, but I could see him being very emotional and talking about his family and talking about his parents and you know, all of that, just because of how appreciative he is about everything, including the opportunity that he's had with the Boston Bruins.
And last thing on Marchand, they lose Bergeron, who's been the captain there since Chara retired, who was the captain there since, I don't know, Johnny Busick retired. You know, like it was like it's been such a string of leadership through that team. And Marchand takes over this year as the captain. And most of us felt that there was going to be about 20 points up for grabs with the Bruins. Like that they, and here they are, they get 105 points again.
It's just something else, man.
And so a lot of that goes to just the way the Bruins have done things over the years, and Marchand carries that forward.
Yeah. We will talk about the brawl in New York between the Rangers and the Devils.
I didn't see it. What happened?
Yeah, no, to end the headlines, but I want to shift over to the West real quickly because, you know, there's a couple of stories. The Winnipeg Jets clinch a playoff spot with a win over the Flames. We'll talk about the Jets coming up and ask Ray and Riggs anything, so we'll just kind of skip over
that. Your guy, Cole Perfetti.
Oh, back! Good for him.
You see something in Perfetti. We all have kind of favorite guys or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, that you just, for whatever reason, your eyes kind of go to, and you've had Perfetti on your radar since before the NHL.
Well, look, full disclosure, I know Cole very well. I know his family very well. Cole and my son, Mason, played minor hockey all the way up together.
You told me, you're like, this guy can pass the puck. He was like, I don't know how old he was, like 15 or something. And I'm like, yeah, lots of guys can pass the puck. And he's not a very imposing looking guy. And you're like, I'm telling you. And he comes off the mat here. He's been out of the lineup a lot. He had two big goals for him the other day.
I like the adversity. There's nothing wrong with that for a young player. I mean, he's still a prospect. So I'm okay with the way that he's been treated by Rick Bonus. Okay.
You know what's... You know what sucks? When you're a young guy on a good team. If you're a young guy on a middling team, it's fine. You get your way in the lineup. When you're in a good team, there's no time to wait. And that's a tough thing.
You know what? One of the better stories in the league this year is, for me, Jonathan Drouin and the Colorado Avalanche. Yeah. I mean, 3 points for the Avs Thursday night. So he's got 17 goals and 34 assists for 51 points as we record here in 73 games, Ray. That's 2 points shy of matching his career high. So twice in his NHL career, he's had 53 points. I mean, I wasn't sure this guy was going to be in the league at this point, you know, based on everything that he went through and has gone through in his NHL career. You know, including some health stuff, mental health stuff. Like, he's dealt with a lot. So, man, when you see things like this go well for a player like that, by extension, go well for the Colorado Avalanche, it warms you up when you look at the better stories around the league and around the game.
Well, when he signed in Colorado, my first thought was, oh, yeah, MacKinnon wants him in there, and maybe they can find a little magic from a decade ago. And you're like, well, how's that going to work? I mean, you know, Drouin has, you know, he really struggled in Montreal. He took that time away for some mental health help, a break. And then when he came back, you know, he's been hurt. And it just felt like the air was out of all of it. And he had a slow start. Like it didn't magically come for him. And we had a couple games early in the year, and Jared Bednar was talking about, he's got to get up to speed here. He's got to play faster. And that's never been a real strength, the speed of game for Drouin. He's a thinker and a creator. Yeah. But over time, pretty soon, it's like, oh, yeah, he got a power play point. And, oh, he scored on the power plays. Isn't that nice? And then pretty soon, you're like, oh, he got a couple points here and got a point there. Like, his game fits for what they're doing here. He's had a marvelous bounce back here. And you're right. It's it is a really great story because he's an important part of their top six. He really fits him and MacKinnon. It seems to work, but he doesn't always play with MacKinnon.
No.
He's gotten the job done for them this year for Colorado, a very affordable price, which they really always can use.
All right, Ray. Well, as promised, there was some stuff that went on between the New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils. I'm not going to sit here and suggest that it was predictable that you'd have a 10-player line brawl, because you've got to go back to the Canucks and the Flames in 2014 to find the last time 8 players were ejected from a game. But that's what we saw. And I guess it's somewhat predictable that there would have been bad blood in one of these games between these two teams because of everything that's gone on over the season series. Is it that big of a deal? I mean, it's a spectacle because we never see it, but I don't know that it's bad for hockey either to have this sort of show of emotion. It was dealt with by the officials. Everybody moves on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's, in a sense, it's nonsense, right? Like, it's like, yeah, yeah. Seriously, really? But when, and of course, each side is trying to blame the other.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way Travis Green should have started Curtis McDermott. Well, then Peter Laviolette has the option of not starting Matt Rempe, right? Yeah. Like there's, and so as soon as those two guys are on the ice together, I mean, there's no question what's the next step. It's, and the both, they're, those two guys, they know that they're going to fight. And they're also very cognizant that the puck has to hit the ice or they get, there's a suspension involved, yeah. Right? Like the puck has to hit the ice. They were a heartbeat slow of getting their gloves off because VC and Lazar beat them to it. Now, yeah. It looked to me like, as you saw the overhead, that it was all kind of done. And then the defensemen engaged around the edges.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, it becomes this big, you know, oh, see, it's out of control. And it happened once. And when was the last time? 10 years ago? We have.
Well, the last time 8 players were ejected.
Right. Yeah. 10 years ago. Right. So,
yeah.
We have rules. We have rules in society. People break the rules, they get punished. Right. These guys broke the rules and they were punished. Yeah. You know what would have been a travesty is if the officials would have left those guys in the game,
because that would have turned ugly.
Yeah. And that would have meant they ignored the rule book, but they didn't. Yeah. They threw the 8 guys out and everybody had lots of room on the bench and now it's over. Mm. Yeah. And it is over.
Yeah.
Right.
So I had a quick exchange with John Tortorella via text after that. And we're talking about 2014 because you remember he tried to get in the Flames dressing room.
Yeah. Right? You know who was the real hero there? Brian McGrath.
Oh, yeah. But Tort says to me, he goes, yeah. He goes, the video's all over the place. He goes, everybody's out there. He said, but I caught a couple of good pokes in on Hartz before the cameras got there and then Brian McGrattan came out.
That when the locker rooms in Vancouver are really, well, like a lot of rinks, I guess, they're pretty close together. And he went right up the runway and took a left turn and then took another left turn and he's in the Calgary hallway.
So good.
Yeah, that was that. Now, honestly, that whole thing was nonsense.
Yeah. Well, he got suspended, 15 days, 6 games, Tortorella, that is.
I forget who the player was. It might have been his only NHL game.
Oh, geez.
And he was in the starting lineup. Kellen Lane. Rings
is that
bell.
Right? Look at that. Wow.
And so it was like Moonlight Graham. He played one out. And
Moonlight Graham. That's outstanding. Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams. Oh, and then he became a doctor and delivered thousands of babies. You saw how the movie went.
Oh, that's good.
But you know what? I wasn't outraged. I certainly didn't turn away from it. And then the energy in the building would have been incredible. And then it's over.
Yep. It's over. All right. Thanks, Ray. Those are your headlines. Thank you to Tim Hortons.
Tim's new savory pinwheels. They're buttery, flaky, and come in 2 delicious flavors. Roasted red pepper and Swiss, and caramelized onion and Parmesan.
I like knowing that I have something ready that tastes great.
Tim's new savory pinwheels.
It's time for Tim. Our interviews on Ray and Dregs brought to us by Canadian Club Whiskey. The first release of the CC Invitation Series, CC 15-year-old Sherry Cask, is available. It is the signature CC Classic 12-year-old whiskey finished with a secondary aging in Oloroso Sherry Casks. Time for Ask Rain Dregs Anything. You can submit your questions to us on X and Instagram. At Rain Dregs is our address, or on the website, rainanddregs.com. And let's start with the Jets. So we touched on that a little bit, had some fun talking about Cole Perfetti, but it's Dale from Steinbach, Ray, who's asking, what's our level of concern with the Jets and the fact that the game has kind of been inconsistent, fallen off, then they picked it up of late? You know, they had so much mojo, according to Dale, for a while, but they've come back down to earth and their playoff path is as tough as anybody's. Which team in Winnipeg do you think shows up for game one of the playoffs?
I think it'll be the better team. I think it'll be the sharper team. Here's the thing. I just did two Vancouver games and this past week, and most of the people around the Canucks are talking about their trouble scoring goals and, you know, what's happened. They scored so much at the start of the year and all that sort of thing. What I was trying to explain is, like, those people are watching the Canucks almost exclusively, right? And so they see the warts, they see the problems, they think there's the only power play that is struggling around the league. They don't know that Boston's got two power play goals and like 40 chances.
Fair, yeah.
And so the reason I bring that up, it's as the question from about Winnipeg from Steinbach coming in, is that you're so focused in on the Jets, you don't realize in a lot of cases that every team around the league, you can go through any team, including Dallas, which has won 8 in a row right now. I'm just going through Boston. Florida's in the ditch right now. Toronto went through their long stretch. The Rangers went 11-11-4 at one time. Carolina had a terrible start. Those are just in the East. Any good team, Colorado has struggled. Vancouver's gone their struggles. Edmonton fired their coach. You know, every good team goes through it. The trick is to get out of it before you're in scramble mode for the playoffs. Look, Winnipeg's got a monster in the first round, right? Like there's no way around it. They've got a monster there. And, you know, if they don't play and Hellebuck doesn't play at their early season pace, it's going to be one round for them, because Colorado's a hell of a team. And they're just, you know, I mean, that's the roadblock sitting right in front of you.
You mentioned Florida real quickly. So Paul Maurice moves him to fourth in wins among NHL coaches. So he goes by Lindy Ruff with 865 NHL career wins. He'll get by Barry Trotz. He's not going to catch Scotty Bowman, I don't think, unless there's a Stanley Cup and Paul wants to coach for the next 15 years. What's Q at? 969. I think Paul needs another 104 wins to catch Quenneville.
He can coach two more years.
Yeah. I mean, they'll get 50 wins this year in Florida, yeah, right?
But still, he needs 104.
Yeah. I know. It's a lot.
Yeah. Jeez, it is a lot, man.
He'll get the second. I think he'll get the second. Yeah. He'll be around the game long enough to get the second. He catch Scotty Bowman. I don't think so. I think that's out of it.
No, he's got fish to catch.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Like literally fishing. Yes.
That's what I mean. Yeah. He loves it. Are you kidding?
Oh, that's all he likes. That's all he wants to talk about is fishing. Yeah. All right. One final question. Masquerade, Dregs, anything. Sam in Calgary, right? We always hear players like McKinnon, Connor McDavid say they're not concerned about the scoring title. And given how close we are in the playoffs or to the playoffs, it seems like the right thing to say. But do they actually not care that much, or can they do both at the same time? And if so, why not just say so?
Of course, you have interest in it. Like, yeah. I mean, the only time I could ever say it was in my last year of junior, and I knew exactly what Dan Hodgson was doing as soon as I could find out. right? Because I was interested. Like, you know, I wanted to win the scoring title. I wanted to be the top scorer. But we were, you just don't occupy your mind like that. Like, I'm sure MacKinnon and McDavid know what the other guy is doing. They know what Kucherov, they're like, geez, Kucherov got three more points. And then it's gone. Like, there is no real focus on it because there's literally, there are more important things to deal with. I would say there's one other component to that is back in the day, players got bonuses for 30 goals, 40 goals, 50 goals, 60 goals. And you don't have those anymore. Because of the salary cap, your salary is all inclusive and there's no bonuses. So guys were more in tune about where they finished in the scoring race, where how many goals they had. When I had 29 goals, I'll tell you, I was damn focused on 30. Now I don't think it really should matter as much because the guy's making what he's making, whether he gets 29 or 30. Yeah. I wasn't. We weren't.
Excellent. All right, buddy. Is that Boston wallpaper behind you?
You know it.
All right. So you've got what, Florida, Boston, Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, Florida, Boston. We'll two coaches that can spin a yarn, which I always enjoy, Jim Montgomery and Paul Maurice. So we'll have a visit with them before. Florida lost Aaron Ekblad till the start of the playoffs. They don't have Verhaeghe week to week.
Yeah.
They've kind of struggled their way, but they went in and throttled Ottawa the last night. And then the Bruins are, you know, I don't know, they won three straight on their six-game road trip. They've given up three goals in three games. They're playing really well. So we're in here today. I do have to say, I played golf yesterday with Adam Hadwin and Nick Taylor and Dan Murphy. And
buried the lead, my friend.
They play a different sport. We park our cart on the first hole, which is about 40 yards in front of them. And Adam says, it's funny you'd park your cart way up there and have to walk way back here. We're not walking back there. That's too far. So those guys they're on Saturday, they're going to the Masters, which is so cool. They're just really great, great guys to play with. Fun to watch them play. I mean, like, honestly, it is a different sport.
So what impressed you the most out of both? Is it, I mean, it's everything. I know that. But is it just how crisp they are with their wedges, the short game overall, or what's most impressive?
Two things. The height that they hit the ball, like, their drivers are like my wedges. I mean, like, it's way up there. Yeah. And the second is when they hit their irons, you know, Murph and I were laughing because our sound is like click, click, and they hit it and it's like thump, like this thump when they hit it. And it's such a beautiful ball strike. Like we're all trying to achieve that. And we're like, we can see what you should do, but just can't do it.
Right.
And then watch them. And it's like, it looks the same drags every swing. And they're walking around. I mean, like, they both shot 70 or 70, 69, 70 yesterday. And I don't want to say they weren't trying, but they were just having a day. Yeah. They had done all their we got to our tee time. They'd already been there for 90 minutes. They'd done their practice. You know, they'd putted for 45 minutes and chipped for 45 minutes and, you know, hit balls for a while. And then, you know, us dummies show up and they come and ride around in the cart. And it was an awesome day.
So
awesome
good. Day. Good for you.
Yeah. All so right, we hope we didn't put an anchor in their Masters training.
Uh-huh. So. I think the only golfer we had Mackenzie Hughes on the podcast a couple of seasons ago. So we're going to have to add Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin to the list here.
They're both Canucks fans. Hadwin, a gigantic fan.
Is he?
Yes. Yes.
Well, you remember when Hughes, he's a Leafs fan, we had him, and I mean, he dissected the team like an analyst.
Yep. So remember, and that was right after in the one tournament he hit it on the par three, the ball got stuck in the tree.
In the tree, that's right.
You're like, really? Like, how does that even happen?
All right. Well, we do.
We'll have to, after the Masters, we'll have to get them on.
All right, buddy. Well, travel safe. Have a great game between Florida and Boston on Saturday, and we'll reconnect early next week.
Yeah, and Saturday night I fly to Denver for Dallas, Colorado on Sunday. So big weekend. So looking forward to it. Hope you all have a great weekend, Drakes. I hope you guys have a nice weekend back home.
Well, playoff mode for everyone in the NHL, including the broadcasters. So thank you to all, including our sponsors who make the Ray and Drakes Hockey Podcast possible, our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, and Tim Hortons. Until next time, stay safe, everybody.